Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And I wanted to thank Andrew so much for sending along a one-time donation to support.greatdetectives.net. And you can also send in a donation through the Zelle app to box13 at greatdetectives.net, or mail in your donation to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. In addition, you can support the show on an ongoing basis as one of our Patreon supporters at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan, the original air date, June the 5th of 1949, and this one is The Man They All Loved.
It is now 45 seconds past 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. But remember, next week, Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock, it will be time for Rocky Jordan. Not far from the mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Cafe Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's story, The Man They All Loved.
The Egyptian desert isn't the best place in the world for a man who likes to hunt. But once in a while, the fleet-footed gazelle makes things interesting. So a couple of friends and I decided to take the day off, drive up the Nile near Helwan, and try our luck. It was quite a way, so I was up about 4 a.m. I was still half asleep as I went down the stairs from my quarters to the half-lighted cafe. The tambourine still reeked with oriental tobacco smoke from a few hours before. As I walked along the bar past the empty tables, I never felt so glad to get away from a place in my life. I was wondering what a little fresh air would smell like as I cut off the light by the front switch and threw open the latch on the door. When I opened up, I got some fresh air and a lot more. He plopped in with the door spread-eagle, like a sack of overripe potatoes, and he didn't move. I bent over and got a quick look. First thing that struck me was his unusual dress. Frock coat, headdress, heavy shoes, all in black. Just then another figure moved from the shadows outside. A little beggar named Samak, I'd seen a few times wandering the native quarter.
Hey, friend.
All right, nothing here for you, Samak.
But what is this?
Imshi, move along.
A man drunk with liquor.
Nobody's rolling him, Samak. On your way.
But why not, friend?
Anyhow, you're wrong. This guy isn't drunk. He's dead.
He'll wipe his throat by the knife. So now it does not matter.
I said cut it, Samak. Get out of those pockets.
But defend it.
Yeah, give me that wallet.
I was first to find it, not you. Let go.
Give me that.
Fendi, look. Look, look, there's a name in their wallet.
Sure. It's an identification.
Please let me see.
All right, keep your hands off.
Anamale. Musquais! Musquais!
What about it? Hey, come back here! Samak was gone just that quick. I'd caught the look in his eyes, and it was fright that sent him scampering off into the dark. Something about the wallet. So I took a closer look, and the name meant everything. It was the name of a man I'd heard a lot about, but had never seen before. Jonathan Mello. Jonathan Mello, a man of unknown nationality, he'd become a missionary for the Coptic faith, an ancient branch of Christianity centered in Old Cairo. Several years before, he had journeyed to the African interior to bring information to the native tribes. Since then, few outsiders had seen him. But ever so often, a word had come of his good works and personal sacrifices, and his name had become almost a legend throughout the Middle East. Yes, Jonathan Mello was a man greatly loved and respected by everyone. And here he lay, murdered at the door to my cafe. His name had meant something to Samak, too, and I figured the little beggar would soon be spreading the word around. So I got the body inside, latched the door. I had another look at the wallet. It was empty except for a receipt from the Pyramid House in Cairo, dated the day before. And I put in a hurry-up call to Captain Sam Sabaya at his home. 15 minutes later, Sam was in my tambourine looking down at the lifeless form.
So, this is the fabulous Jonathan Merrow.
Yeah, that's what the identification says.
That in his clothing leaves small doubt that he is the missionary.
Do you know he was back in Cairo, Sam?
It had not come to my attention, Jordan. He surely must have returned very recently.
Looks like he should have stayed in the Sudan.
Yes, it would have been better for all of us. Finding an enemy of such a man as this poses a very strange problem.
You haven't much to go on.
No. Jonathan Mellow was known to lead a most exemplary life.
Maybe there's some things we don't know.
True, Jordan. For example, why he should be found dead at your cafe.
Oh, now, look, Sam.
No, Jordan. You have many accomplishments, but the skilled use of the knife such as this is not one of them.
A lot of Coptics might not agree with you, Sam.
It is not necessary that they learn of your connection with this, Jordan.
Well, they'll find out. Leave that to Samak.
Samak?
A little beggar who came up a couple of seconds after I found Mello's body here.
And the beggar knows who this man is?
That's right. He got away fast when he found out.
I see.
You see where that puts me, Sam?
Yes, I do, Jordan. Jonathan Mello's death will be a profound shock to his people. They will demand immediate justice.
Yeah, after Samak gets a word around. I bet that doesn't take him long.
Jordan, you say you were going hunting up the Nile.
That's the way it started out.
Let me suggest that you continue with your plans. Stay out of Cairo for a while.
You're suggesting I run away?
Only until this matter is cleared up.
Well, supposing it isn't cleared up, Sam. If I leave Cairo now, I'll never get back.
Do you not realize that it is for your own safety?
Sure, but you don't know me better than that.
Jordan, for once in your life, you must listen to me. It is my duty to protect you when it is possible, but I can offer no guarantees.
No good, Sam. I'm staying right here.
Very well. But you have been warned.
Sure. Thanks.
We will cart the body away secretly and trust that Samak does not spread the news.
Well, Sam took the body, and along about 10 o'clock, I opened up for business. That's when I knew Samak had been real busy. Not a single person came in that morning. The tambourine was just as empty at 2 in the afternoon. Even the Muslims crossed to the other side as they passed, which meant they sensed trouble and didn't want to be around. I got out on the streets and felt the unrest growing. When a knife sailed out from somewhere and almost parted my hair, I decided it was time to get busy. I remembered the receipt in Mello's wallet from the Pyramid House. It hadn't meant much, but it might put some light on Mello's activities since he'd returned to Cairo. So I made for the place over on Sharia Rangoon. The sign on the window puzzled me, but I went on in.
I can help you, mister?
Yeah, with some information.
Sorry, I don't sell that.
Did you ever see this receipt?
Sure, Mike. I wrote it myself for a customer yesterday. Hey, wait a minute. Where did you get it?
That's not important. What did he buy?
Liquor. What else? Maybe I don't tell you.
You sold that man liquor?
What do you think I sell here? Elevator shoes?
What kind of liquor?
Champagne, scotch, bourbon, arak, gin. The very best. 50 cases.
What did the man look like?
All in black. Headdress, frock coat, heavy shoes. Wait a minute. You don't tell me where you got that receipt, I don't tell you.
Yeah, maybe you're mixed up anyhow.
You think I forget him? When I'm going to make him a special price for a big sale, but he pays me like that, all in cash for quick delivery?
Delivery? Where to?
His boat, the Delta Queen. Wharf 4 it was. Don't you ask me.
Thanks, I won't.
Yeah, sure. I clam up for guys like you, mister. I don't going to tell you nothing.
It didn't make a lick of sense, but there it was. 50 cases of expensive liquor purchased by the circumspect Jonathan Mello. Well, that little receipt had set up a chain reaction that couldn't stop here, so I went on to the next link, located at Wharf 4 on the Nile. And the Delta Queen was some job. A sumptuous yacht that could have played stand-in for the Queen Mary. Brand new, with lots of shiny brass from stem to stern. Looked like our lowly missionary had been spending potatoes on a lot of things. There was nobody on deck, so I wandered down below. A passageway led to a big lounge, complete with a big bar. There were some cigarettes on a side table. American brand, so I took one. I reached for a match, but I didn't need it. And I saw her walking toward me. The flame of the cigarette lighter glowing on her face, green eyes, tawny blonde hair, and round shoulders. The perfect piece of equipment to make a layout like this complete. I accepted the light. Thanks.
Not at all. Was I expecting you?
No, I'm an intruder.
Suppose I start screaming.
Suit yourself, lady.
I'm a little out of practice. Well, how do you like it?
Everything's real shipshape.
The boat?
It's nice, too. All the comforts of life, huh?
Almost. But I like to keep looking around, meet new people.
Yeah. Your deal here looks good to me. Who comes with it?
Bourbon?
Sure, the expensive kind.
Our tastes are alike, aren't they? Maybe we have a lot in common.
Oh, yeah. Money, boats.
I like Americans, too. I've been trying to remember. They grow them like you in St. Louis or Chicago.
You're right the first time. My name's Rocky.
I'm Kareem. Here you are, Rocky.
Thanks again, Kareem.
Why don't we sit down? Over here.
Maybe I ought to check the passenger list first.
We're alone, Rocky, for a while.
Okay. Now, why don't you ask me why I came here?
Is that important?
Oh, makes good conversation.
Wouldn't you rather just...
You get on to sail fast, don't you?
We like boats, remember?
So does your boyfriend.
Do we have to talk about him?
Yeah. Tell me about Jonathan Mello.
Don't you know about him?
Only that he's passed up just about everything most men want for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all this is quite a switch.
He's been a good man. He's helped a lot of people. Now he deserves the good things in life.
Yeah, he hasn't missed a trick. Where does it go from here?
We're getting out of Africa. From now on, we're going where the bright lights are. See the world. Why don't you come along?
Just the three of us?
There'll be lots of people around. It would be easy. How about it, Rocky?
Corrine, you know where Jonathan Mello is right now?
He's settling some business.
What kind of business?
Oh, I don't know. It's with a Prescott exporting company, Jared Prescott. Jonathan says as soon as that's settled, we're leaving.
Happy sailing, Corrine.
Rocky, you could wait for him here.
No, thanks.
Why?
I don't like things that don't make sense. And none of this does. The liquor, the yacht, you, especially...
What, Rocky?
That's something you got to find out for yourself, Corrine. I don't want to be around when you do. There was no place to go now but to the Prescott Exporting Company. It had a big layout of offices just off one of the Moose Keeper's R's. I liked the taboo the girl at the desk was wearing, but I didn't like cooling my heels. So the next time she went out for a drink, I opened Prescott's door and went on in. He was on the phone. He was a big guy with a crew haircut. He smoked a fat cigar, the ashes falling in his white vest as he talked.
Surely a man like Jonathan Mello can be found in Cairo. You'll find him, that's all.
Maybe I can help you, Prescott.
Who are you?
My name's Jordan.
Jordan? Jordan. Let's see here. I don't recall an appointment with you.
Get one now, if you don't mind.
But I do mind. What do you mean, barging in here like this, Jordan?
Came about the big deal.
What deal? Get to the point.
With Mello, Jonathan Mello. I understand he wants it consummated in a hurry.
Why isn't he here? I had an appointment with him 3 hours ago. Have you seen him?
Yeah, saw him early this morning.
Well, it's not doing me any good.
Mr. Prescott, has it occurred to you that Jonathan Mello won't be here at all?
That's ridiculous. Look, Jordan, I don't know what he's trying to pull on me, but you tell him... Ivory or no ivory. If he doesn't show up here before the day...
Wait a minute. Ivory, did you say?
Certainly I did. Let's not beat around the bush, Jordan. And by the way, what have you got to do with it?
Maybe there isn't any ivory.
Look, I'm nobody's fool. Why do you think I sent a safari to the interior myself to check on it?
My mistake.
Jonathan Mello discovered the hoard of ivory himself. He has a right to sell, and I'm ready to buy.
For how much? $50,000, $100,000?
We deal in Egyptian pounds here, Jordan. Besides, nobody's going to top my price. Mello knows that.
Just how much do you know about Mello, Mr. Prescott?
That's beside the point. Everyone knows about him.
Yeah, I thought I did, too. A lowly missionary with a lot of high ideals. And get the picture now. Expensive liquor, a yacht, and a slick girlfriend to go with it.
How he spends the money is none of my affair.
But his own people will be interested. You know anything about the Coptics?
I'm a businessman, Jordan. I'm not interested in Coptics or anything else except a perfectly legitimate deal.
Okay, we'll leave it that way.
Jordan, I don't know who you are or what you want, but you tell Mr. Mello I won't wait much longer. Either he shows up today or the whole deal is off.
Sure, I'll tell him. Next time I see him. I had everything from Prescott but the answer to the jackpot question. Who killed Jonathan Mello and why? Well, I figured the ivory hoard he had uncovered somewhere in Africa had something to do with it. That's why I was scouting for a payphone to bring Sam Sabai up to date. I avoided the bazaar and had walked maybe a couple of blocks when I spotted a character hugging the shadows not so far back and staying on my tail. I stepped it up, figuring to double back at him when all at once he was in the center of the street and yelling. It was Samak, the little beggar who had found me with Mello's body that morning. That's when I tried for the sprint record. I left a lot of natives far behind, but Samak had his robe up around his knees and kept coming. Samak was lagging too by then. I slowed to catch my breath when I saw another native running from the other direction right at me. Right then, I picked an alley. It was the wrong one. Not more than 30 paces ahead, it came to a dead end with nothing but high walls between me and the man running in. He had a knife like nothing I'd ever seen. Great curved-bladed scimitar, a yard long. I waited with my back to the wall as he came in for the kill.
You are listening to The Man They All Loved, tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. Here's a special announcement for all you Rocky Jordan fans. Starting next Sunday, Rocky Jordan will come to you at a new time, 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Make a note of it, so you can remember to tune us in next Sunday. The new time for Rocky Jordan is 5 Pacific Standard Time. Now we return you to Cairo and Rocky Jordan for tonight's adventure, The Man They All Loved.
Imagine a man with his back to the wall at the end of a dirty blind alley in Cairo, facing a character with blood-red eyes coming at him waving a huge curb-bladed scimitar. Well, that's me. Not the one with a knife, but the one backed against the wall. And the guy kept coming with Samak the beggar somewhere behind.
Oh, help, Jordan, by the scimitar, you die!
In the split second it took him to reach me, I thought of a million moves, but none of them worked. I knew one swing of that blade and I was finished. My eyes were on the raised scimitar, so I didn't see a third figure enter the alley. But all at once he was there. A tall, dark-skinned man who had my assailant by both arms from behind, and the knife never came down. I had the feeling he could have crumpled the guy in his powerful hands, but he only slammed him back and rolling. Little Samak was already gone, and his chum got up running.
Another time, don't let me make again!
And I was alone with the man who had saved my life. His intelligent eyes watched me as I got my breath. Well, maybe we better shake hands.
I'm most honored, Mr. Jordan.
Oh, Abyssinian, aren't you?
Yes. I'm Jethro, an Abyssinian and a Coptic.
Then maybe you don't know why they're after me?
The beggar Samak tells everyone that he found you early this morning by the body of Jonathan Mello.
Well, I still don't get it, but thanks.
I've helped you, Mr. Jordan. Now you help me.
You think I can help you?
We both share certain interests in this affair, do we not?
Yeah. Maybe you've been finding out some things about your missionary you didn't know before. Maybe he's not such a big man.
Mr. Jordan, no one grieves more for the death of Jonathan Mello than do I.
How well did you know him, Jethro?
He was my greatest friend. To him I owe everything. He taught me kindness and understanding. It was he who provided the funds for all my education.
Yeah, I used to hear things like that about him.
It was his wish that with my training and education I would go back to the tribes and bring enlightenment to my people.
Do you mind if I ask you something, Jethro?
Not at all, Mr. Jordan.
When did you see him last?
Not for a long time. When he first brought me and my family to Cairo.
Were you expecting him back?
Yes. Let me explain that my father and I have a small construction business here. About a month ago, we received a letter from Jonathan Mello, who was then in the Sudan. It stated that he would soon be in possession of a great deal of money with which he wanted my father and I to construct schools and other installations for the tribes of the Sudan. He was to arrive here a few days ago.
But you never saw him?
The next I heard was the news of his death. I wished to know why he died and why he did not contact us upon his arrival.
I can't answer the first one, but you'll find the second answer down on the Nile.
I do not understand.
It's all his, brand new, and loaded with all the provisions for a big joyride around the world. Looks like all that money turned his head a little.
Mr. Jordan, have you said that you will help me?
Of course, anything.
I wish to see Jonathan Mello's remains, if you can arrange it.
Right away, Jethro. Let's go.
A handsome young Abyssinian stayed with me, and I finally got to a phone and talked to Sam Sabaya. I briefed him real quick and then asked him about viewing the missionary's body. He said to come on down, and in another 20 minutes, Sam was leading Jethro and me down some steps at headquarters that led to the morgue.
This way, gentlemen.
Right behind you, Sam.
I had the remains moved to a room off the main hall. You will understand why.
Oh, sure.
Every precaution was taken to conceal his identity, Jordan. However, many people already know of Jonathan Mello's death.
Yeah, I found that out.
You would still do well to take my advice and hide out for a time.
No, not interested, Sam.
In here.
Is this the one?
It is.
Yeah.
Three stab wounds. Any one would have brought instant death.
Somebody sure wanted him out of the way.
Indeed. Would that be all, Jethro?
Jethro only nodded his head and moved silently out. He had nothing to say to Sam, so he left headquarters. We were soon walking away down the Sharia Lagoon. The desert twilight had given way to sudden dark, and a dim street lamp every four or five blocks didn't help much. In spite of my being with him, he seemed alone and lost. It was hard to know what to say.
Tough, was it, Jethro?
Yes, but not a surprise, Mr. Jordan.
How do you mean?
That was not Jonathan Mello.
Say that again.
The man lying in the morgue is not Jonathan Mello.
Are you sure?
I knew him too well to be mistaken.
If it's not Mello, who is it?
I can tell you that too, Mr. Jordan. His name is Matson, a hunter whom I saw often before coming to Cairo. A man who would not hesitate to kill.
Did he know Jonathan Mello?
He did. Their paths crossed often in the Sudan.
Why would he want to switch identity with your missionary?
That is quite obvious, is it not, Mr. Jordan? And now I can be certain that the real Jonathan Mello is dead. At the moment, that is all that matters.
Look, Jethro, how about coming back to the tambourine with me?
No. No, Mr. Jordan. I wish to think on this alone.
We parted there, and I headed back to the tambourine. It occurred to me that I hadn't eaten since four that morning, but something else interested me more. There wasn't much question why the disappearance of Jonathan Mello, but that didn't explain the killing of his imposter, the hunter Matson. Well, I got back to the cafe, and good old Chris, my bartender, was real busy swatting flies. The tambourine had just one customer.
Rocky.
Well, you got better liquor on your yacht, Curry.
Rocky, I've got to talk to you alone.
Okay, I'm going to my office. Yeah?
Rocky, where is he? Where's Jonathan?
You asking or telling me?
I don't know. He was to come back. I've got to see him.
You'll never see Jonathan Mello, Corrine. Fact of it is, I don't think you ever did.
I don't understand you.
Then sit down and get it once through.
Tell me, Rocky, what are you driving at?
Jonathan Mello was never anything but a good missionary. But in his travels, he happened onto a fabulous hoard of ivory. Worth enough to build a lot of schools and hospitals.
I know that.
Ah, wait a minute. Before he could do anything about it, a hunter named Matson found out the whereabouts of the ivory. He killed the missionary, assumed his identity, and came to Cairo to sell the ivory and use the money in his own way.
Oh, that's impossible.
Oh, no, it isn't. Mello had been gone a long time. Few people would recognize him. You, for instance.
His name made no difference to me.
No, no. Only the money.
What about Matson?
He's dead.
How do you know?
Because I found him that way at the door of my cafe. Me and Samak.
Who's he?
I'm beginning to wonder. Maybe it wasn't a coincidence, Samak showing up when he did. I figure he was working for someone. He made quick work of spreading the word that I'd done the killing.
Then you're in trouble, Ricky.
A lot of Coptics don't like me.
Rocky, listen, the yacht, it's ready to go. We can get away if we hurry.
You make a quick switch, don't you, lady?
You know how I feel about you, Rocky. I think you feel the same way. It'd be wonderful, you and I.
We've been all over that.
Look at me, Rocky.
Hurry, get back.
The English, the job is still afraid. He knows his time is short. He cannot escape the Coptic revenge. The brave Mr. Jordan!
The beggar Samak was back on the job. I forgot all about Corrine right then and went through the broken window. Samak was already scrambling away and running hard. He kept to the alleys, always a few steps ahead of me. As he entered a dark passageway with buildings on either side that almost touched at the top, I realized he knew where he was going. I had to catch him quick. I was almost on him when suddenly there was another shadow and the flash of the scimitar. I ducked back in time. As I did, my feet struck something. My hands made a grab, and I came up with a piece of iron pipe. That was all, against the biggest knife I ever saw. This time, Samak's buddy was at it for keeps. He swung the huge blade with both hands. I parried the first one, then the next one. Third time, I was lucky, and now he was swinging wild. I followed the blade, ducked it, and came around with the iron pipe flat against his face. The scimitar landed 20 feet away. He piled up at my feet. I looked around for Samak, but he was gone.
You're not through yet, George.
The light from the room inside hit me as the door opened. He took one step into the alley, a cigar in one hand and a gun in the other.
Right on time, Jordan.
I didn't have an appointment, Prescott.
Yes, you did. Drop what you have there.
Samak led me to the right place, did he?
He carried out his assignment very well.
Only his pal with the scimitar bungled the job again.
As a businessman, I should have known. When I want something done right, I have to do it myself.
Yeah. Now, who gets all the ivory? Just you?
That is my plan.
You put on a great act for me back in your office. You knew Jonathan Mello and Matson were dead all the time. And I'm wondering how you know about the ivory hoard.
The man has ivory to sell. Who else should he write to but a reputable dealer? Like myself.
Sure. When you got Mello's letter, you sent Matson out to locate the stuff, got rid of Mello, and came back in his place.
All I had to do was get rid of Matson, and the road was clear. Except for you.
I'm next.
Sometime tomorrow morning, they'll find you here. Victim of the Coptic's attrition. Come closer, Jordan. You see, I'm a very thorough man. I don't intend to miss.
The shots echoed back and forth on the sandstone walls, and I wondered why I heard. Prescott hadn't moved. Then I saw the two spots in his white vest. The gun suddenly dropped from his hand. He pivoted slowly and fell back down into the dirt of the alley.
You all right, Mr. Jordan?
Yes. Thanks to you, General. Oh, this is the second time today.
It will not be necessary again.
No. Samak's still loose, but nobody to work for.
The police will find him soon enough.
You know, I'm wondering something, General.
Yes?
Why did you do this? Just to get Prescott or to save me?
How can I say, Mr. Jordan? I only know that now the way is clear for the great work Jonathan Mello wanted done. I'm happy for that.
You're going to be happy for a lot of things.
No. You see, he taught me the ways of peace, not violence. Tonight I've killed a man.
I think Mello'd understand.
Yes, he would understand. That is why we all loved him so much.
It's CBS at a new time next week, 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, for another story of adventure and intrigue when we take you back to Cairo and the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Rocky Rocky Jordan, starring Jack Moyles in the title role, is produced and directed by Cliff Howell with original music by Richard Arendt. Tonight's story by Gomer Kuhl and Larry Roman. Remember the new time next week for Rocky Jordan, 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Larry Thor speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. I got curious by the use of the name Abyssinian, and so I looked it up, and it turns out that the Abyssinians are a major ethnic group, primarily in Ethiopia and Eritrea. Though, of course, in Cairo, particularly the Cairo of Rocky Jordan, it's an international city where you get people coming and living and working from all around the region and all over the world. All right, well, listener comments and feedback. And Christine writes, "So last year when you had the t-shirt and sweatshirt campaign, I ordered one of each and had them sent to my American mailing address, even though I was already living in Siberia. Unfortunately, it was after I placed the order that I found out the company did international shipping to anywhere for only $3 more. But when I tried to get them to change the delivery address to my international address and bill me the extra, they said it was too late. So for about 10 months, my sweatshirt sat at my aunt's house waiting for me. I finally picked it up in August, and now it's where it rightfully belongs, with me in Russia's far northeast. This weekend, I went on a hike that took me to the bank of the Lena River, which is a superlative river in Russia. If you look it up on Wikipedia, you'll see it's the asked in a lot of ways, not only in Russia, which flows all the way to the Laptev Sea and into the Arctic Ocean. And that is where I took a photo of me in my Great Detective sweatshirt. I was also wearing my Great Detective t-shirt underneath, but the temperature was about 2 degrees centigrade, and I wasn't trying to catch pneumonia by taking a photo in only my t-shirt. I thought I'd send you this photo as a novelty just to show you you have a very appreciative fan living close to the top of the world." Well, thanks so much, Christine, and it's always such a pleasure to hear from you, and I also appreciate the tip about the international shipping, and $3 for international shipping as a flat rate is a really good deal. Thanks so much for sharing that, and thanks so much for the great pictures. And do your best to stay warm over there in Siberia. And a reminder that you can get your own Great Detectives of Old Time Radio t-shirt at t-shirt.greatdetectives.net. All right, that's all for now. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie, and next Wednesday it's another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.